Thankful tonight for this morning for a victorious church. My name is Michael Smith from Springfield, Missouri. And our desire is this morning that the Spirit of God anoint and bless His Word. Without the Holy Spirit, we're wasting our time. We'll say the burden that I have on my heart that the Lord has given for us this morning is not something that has come in the last week or two. Lord gave me this message before last Monarch. And it's been sitting on the burner. And the burden hasn't left, and I desire your prayers that we would open up our hearts this morning. I'd like to begin over in Revelation chapter 7, beginning with verse 9. John the Revelator had a vision, and he said, "In this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts. And they fell before the throne on their faces, and they worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever." If you can just get a little glimpse this morning of an innumerable host around the throne of God, praising Him, giving Him thanks, honor, and adoration for the gift of their Son, for redemption, for salvation. And then it said, "One of the elders said unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" Oh, do you know this morning sometimes people ask us that question? They say, "Who are you people? What are these? Where did you come from? What's your history? What are you teaching? How are you living?" And the response was this. He said, "Sir," he said, "thou knowest." He said, "These are they that have come through great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Oh, dear ones, this was a vision of God's church. It, when we began and said, "Who are these people?" they didn't start giving them their names. They didn't start saying, "What group are you with?" They didn't start saying what reformer that they had built their reformation or movement after. But He said, "These are they which have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb." Folks, we need to know this morning who we are. We need to know who we are, because folks, if we lose our identity this morning, we will fall into a maze of confusion. And when we lose our identity, there's not a lot of incentive to sacrifice. If we don't know who we are as a body this morning, if we're confused about what the church is, there's not a lot of incentive to sacrifice. There's not a lot of incentive to consecrate. And sometimes I will confess this morning, there's been a few times that the enemy has come along and made me ask myself, "Is this really worth it? What are you giving for? What are you doing?" But folks, I want us to know it is still worth. There is something worth giving our lives for today. But we need to have a clear vision of what this body is. And I look around this morning, and do you know who I see? I see some blood-washed ones. You say, "Who are these people here? What is this Monarch Springs? What's that meeting all about?" It is about a group of people that love God. It is about a group of people who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Folks, that is the identity of the true Church of God this morning. It is not based on something that we go back 120 years and say, "That's it." But who we are this morning goes all the way back to the time of Jesus, and what makes us a part of His church today is if our robes have been washed. If we're living free from sin, if we're living holy lives, that is who God's people is. That is the church this morning. Oh, He didn't say, "Oh, these were Lutherans here. Followers of Martin Luther. These were Wesleyans here." That's not what He said. He said, "Sir." He said, "These are they that have gone through great tribulation." Oh, folks, there's going to be some trials along the way. There's going to be some persecution. There's going to be some pressures within and without the body. But I want us to understand again, the identifying mark was the blood of Jesus.
If we ever lose sight of that, we have lost the essence of the message that Christ came to bring to this lost world. He came to bring a message of hope. He came to bring a message of peace. And folks, I don't have any grace to offer to anybody this morning, but when we understand it is through the blood of Jesus, that's the identifier of God's people. We need to individually this morning and collectively as a movement have a clear vision of who we are. Have you ever kind of started to ask yourself who you really were? If I come along and see Brother Marty there and say, "Brother Marty, who are you?" And he said, "Well, I'm not a Wilson." All right, but who are you? "Well, I'm not a Williams." All right, who are you? Do you know we need to know who we are? Someone comes along and says, "Who you are?" He said, "Well, I'm not quite sure. We've been around for a while. We've been doing this for a lot of years. We need to know who we are." Because when people lose their identity and do not know where they came from and don't know who they are, many times they go in pursuit. Have you ever found, talked to people, said they're trying to find themselves? Do you know what people do when they're trying to find themselves? That's one of the reasons you see a lot of weird things going on in our world today. Green hair, pink hair. And they say, "I'm trying to find who I really am." If we do not know spiritually who we are this morning, it's going to lead us down some strange paths. It's going to take us down some places that we wouldn't have gone otherwise. Folks, we are in a battle this morning. We are in the battle of Armageddon, where we are facing the forces of all false religion, of paganism, Catholicism, Protestantism. We're in a battle today, and we need to know who we are that we might be able as a people to withstand the pressure and the influence of the enemy. So who are you this morning? Oh Lord, help us to know our identity. Because I believe, and if you don't understand this, before you criticize, I encourage you to go pray about it. But folks, we are in a place, if not now, it may not be in 1 year, 2 years, but there are people and there are congregations that are going through an identity crisis. We're trying to really figure out what we're doing here. We're trying to figure out what our purpose is. We're trying to figure out where we're going to go. And we start saying, "I'm not sure who I am anymore." And then if we don't know who we are, how much incentive is there to go invite someone to church? When I don't even know who I am anymore. Are we just another church among churches? Just another group among groups? Another movement among movements? Who are we this morning? Well, I know who is around the throne of God, and I know who you all are too. People that have had their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. Folks, the devil's trying to blur our vision. He's trying to cause us not to know who we are. And I will say, in part, he has been successful with too many. And I would, as we look into some of the Word of God this morning, that when we leave here today, we can know who we have been called to be. We can know who we are and go home individually and in our congregations with a renewed burden, with a renewed vision, and renewed zeal of what God has called us to be. When we go through identity crisis, we begin to question everything. You ever been there? You start to question the things. Maybe you grew up knowing and hearing certain things, and then you start questioning, what about this? What about that? Folks, I think that's part of growing up. But I want to say there's not an age where that questioning cuts off. And we're probably, all of us have some questions this morning, but we need to know our name. We need to know why we're here and who we are. Is this just another church? Is this just a traditional lifestyle? You ever been accused of that? You're a bunch of old fogies. You're just trying to preserve something that happened 100 years ago. Folks, if that's all it is, we are wasting our time this morning. We have a greater call. God has a fresh anointing and fresh blessings for His church today, folks. I appreciate our forefathers. I appreciate our heritage this afternoon. But folks, God has something new He wants us to do. He has a renewed vision and purpose that we would have some inspiration with the message message that's in the Word of God. We're not talking about new light. We're not talking about something that hasn't been given, but it's in the Word of God today. Just a traditional lifestyle. No, it's more than that. Over in Proverbs 29 and 18, this Scripture, it's a familiar passage. It says, where there is no vision, what happens? The people perish. Do you know that that is what the enemy's trying to do to us today? And if you don't believe that, you need to pray that your eyes are open, because the devil is trying to blur our vision collectively as a movement. He's trying to blur our vision as a people. And if we don't have a vision, we need to seek God to open up our eyes and renew our vision of what the body of Christ is all about. To renew our vision of what the congregation where you attend, what God is calling of us to be. Because folks, there's so many churches in the world today. So many places you can go. So what's different about this group? Well, we've just been here for a while. That's not good enough. God has something for His people today, folks. We must believe in who we are. We must believe. If we do not believe in who we are as a people today, we are never going to be able to effectively work for the Lord. You get up, Sunday school teachers, ministers, if you've lost your vision, you cannot effectively minister the bread of life, because what takes the place of that is our own thinking, our own ways, our own organization, our own traditional way of doing things, when we lose the anointing Spirit of God. This is why we need vision, folks, because without it, we will start to wither. We will start to fall away because our outreach will not be as effectual, because what are we trying to take to the world? Another group? No, God has more for us this morning than that. And folks, this is not an accusation, but it's a warning to us, because the devil's working here. The devil's working along these lines. But folks, more importantly even than believing who we are, is yielding ourselves individually and collectively that we would be the people God wants us to be. I have heard from people not only in this country, in different places around the land, but in foreign lands, are saying, what do? Where do we fellowship? And folks, I tell them, you need to be God's people where you're at. You need to be the blood-washed ones. Be the example. Be the city that is set on a hill right where you're at. And then God can work and bring those that are honest and sincere together in that oneness that we sang about this morning. So where did we come from? You know, that's important to knowing our identity. Where did we come from? Well, I'd like us, and we're not going to be able to spend a lot of time on each of these points. We're going to have to move through this. But I would that we examine where we came from, because folks, do you realize when we look in the past, it helps us know where we are today? How did we get here? When did the church start? This day of Pentecost, Acts the 2nd chapter and the 47th verse, the Scripture says the Lord added. Now, who added to the church? The Lord did. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Folks, that is what the church of God is. We find references all through the Scripture of congregations of blood-washed one being referred to as the churches of God. That's why we have the name. But I want us to understand, it was man. Heard someone bring this out recently. Folks, it's man that they painted the sign down there on the road. It's man that painted the sign that says Church of God over our chapel doors. It means it goes beyond the name then. We're talking about an experience with God. We're talking about living as God has called us to live. And so the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, it said. The church, folks, was not born. Contrary to what some have gotten in their minds, folks, this body of people, the blood-washed ones, has a longer history than 120 years. It goes all the way back to Jesus Christ when He died on the cross and He said, "It is finished." Folks, the Holy Spirit left the most holy place, and on the day of Pentecost He came down and filled men's hearts that now we can live a life of victory. We can have a life of power. No longer are we bound under the law, but now we have that relationship with Christ on a daily basis. Folks, the church was born, and we are born into the church through the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the Lord that brings us into the body of Christ. And I want to go a step further. Any minister or any movement that endorses the idea that they are the door is a false movement. Any individual... Any individual or teaching that promotes the idea that you have to make heaven, you have to come to me, you have to come by way of us, does not understand what the Bible teaches. The Lord is the one that adds to the church, because folks, my blood won't cleanse anybody from sin. But when you come and you yield your heart to God, that makes you a member of the church of God. And so then that saying that I know a lot of chapels have, it says where salvation makes you a member. Do you realize that we must have a vision of the reality of that? Because I fear that too many times we've gotten so used to hearing the right words, and we know what the doctrine is, but yet we can still start to lose the vision that this is the reality of what the church of God is. The church of God are those that have their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. I can't do it. There's no body that can do it, but it's through Jesus Christ. And we find in John 1, just reference in John 1, it said, talking about Jesus, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Folks, the sons of God, who are we this morning? Children of God. How did we get there? By yielding our lives to Jesus Christ. It is to those individuals across the world, folks. We may come from different backgrounds. The church comes from different traditions. The church comes from different nationalities and different genders. But what unites us all together is the mark of the blood of Jesus that has transformed our life. Oh, you can go get your name on the church book, folks, but it won't get you into heaven. We can go and we can say things are really moving over there. Look, and it's something exciting and something new. But you remember the disciples came back rejoicing? And they said, even the devils are subject unto us. You remember what Jesus said? Rejoice not in this, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Folks, that's our identity this morning. That is the message that is still relevant to the world today. There's a question of what's relevant today. Are we just perpetuating a lifestyle, or is there something that's relevant? Folks, we have a message that the world still needs to hear today. It's still relevant because we can minister to symptoms like the world does. Do you know we are not commissioned as a body this morning? I was not called to be a psychologist. I wasn't called to to hold seminars. I wasn't called to do that. What we were commissioned to do was to go and preach the gospel. Because all those other things, they minister to symptoms. But the only thing that can transform a life is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's our identity then. And if we have a vision of that, we don't need to be ashamed that, well, we don't have any qualified psychologists among us. There is a life-changing power that we can access through the blood of Jesus. And so that gives me courage. It gives me inspiration when we start seeing all these big churches with their parking lots full, and I pull up and we have 5 cars. Oh Lord, what are we doing here? We still have a relevant message because it transforms the life. Oh folks, that's who we're called to be and who we are. Praise God this morning. Oh, so that's where we came from. It goes all the way back. And in Jude, when it said, it said to earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints. Say, okay, we're going back 50 years. How far are we going to go back? He told them in the time right after Christ's death, you contend for that faith. Contend for what Jesus gave to us. Contend for that truth that was given through the apostles. Oh, folks, we need to contend for that faith this morning. Oh, yes, there's going to be some opposition. There's going to be sometimes those in the camp that will oppose when you preach the truth. And you'll get labeled. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You'll get labeled, don't let down waving the bloodstained banner. Folks, who we are, we need to lift that banner high. Holiness and purity and godliness. And folks, when we are afraid to preach the truth because of political fallout. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? What are some of the other ministers going to say? If it's from the Word and if it's truth, I encourage you, stand on it, speaking the truth in love. And in the fear of God, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because, folks, we're facing some pressures today. And I want to let us know that as time goes on and we get closer and closer to the end of time, we're going to feel the pressure in a greater way. I'm not so much worried about the false prophet down the road that I don't know is those that come right in among the body and start teaching false doctrine and start taking and deviating away from the path that we have seen God's blessings and anointing on. So who are we this morning? Oh, the blood-washed ones. That's who we're called to be this morning. Where did the glory lie in the early morning church? Do you know the glory lie in the fact? As Jesus said in the 4th chapter of John, He said that the hour cometh and now is when the Father seeketh those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Folks, I want us to understand that the anointing and the glory of the early morning church, where we came from, those are our roots, folks. That's where we came from. It came because there was a freedom of the Word of God to be taught and lived and propagated, and they were allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and direct. And so then, that is where the anointing was. But yet, sometimes we can look on and say, I wish I would have been born back then. Have you ever wished, I wish I could have been born in the 1800s? Wish I could have been born in the early morning church. Folks, God has committed to us this dispensation of the gospel to us. We are not born out of due season. We have not been born out of time. God has you in this dispensation because this is where He wants you. So we need to know who we are then. We need to know the message that is still relevant to us today and to the world today. All right, so the glory came then. Folks, the early morning church, if we're not careful, we can romanticize it to the point that we get discouraged when we start looking around. You ever looked around and thought, wow, what's happening? Do you know that the glory, you talk about problems. I'll show you where to go read about problems. Go to Corinth. Read in Corinthians the problems that were in those congregations. Go to the churches in Revelation. Do you realize that that was just a short time after Jesus died? Within a period, I think, of about 30 years. Say, this is the glorious church? Yes, because it were still those individuals that came together where there were more than two or three. They came together and they were living holy lives and their robes were washed. Those were God's people. The Word and the Spirit still having right of way in their midst. So where is the glory for us today? Is it gone? I'm thankful it's not, folks. There have been some that have said the Spirit of God is lifting up off the face of the earth. That is not so. To every individual that will humble their hearts, to every individual that wants to serve the Lord with all of their being, the Spirit of the Lord will be just as faithful to us and His body today as He was 2,000 years ago. Folks, nothing's changed except too many are not letting the Word and Spirit have the right of way. That's what changes. But if we will be faithful as a people, the anointing is still here. I thank God for that. But I say, Lord, open up our eyes that we may have a greater vision of where You can bless and work. Today in the world, the religious world, the Spirit has been substituted. Entertainment. I've battled a few times on my way to service at these big mega churches. I've done a little exploration, see what they're all about. You know what I find? I didn't go to them. Multimedia presentation. the music that you're playing, you have to really listen to see if this is hip-hop or if this is really the words or spiritual. You have to think. You have to wade through it. You wonder where the crowds come from? Folks, if the absence of the Holy Spirit, men start looking for something to fill in the gap. We are battling those influences today. And as we go on, if we don't know our identity, if we don't know who we are, we're going to try to start bringing in some of those things. Folks, those things do not minister to the soul of man. Those things do not bring about the change that we heard about the drunkard that was able to not drink anymore. How many weeks of counseling did he have to have? No, it took prayer. It took seeking God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, folks. It's not man, it's not people, but it's the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, thank the Lord. That's where we, folks, won't we have a wonderful heritage today? Oh, thank God for the church, for the inspiration of what it is still for us today. Oh, in the New Testament, we can look and say, well, there is a mixed multitude. Have you ever looked around, got a little bit discouraged? People ever come and say, you're saying you're the church? You're the body of Christ. What about brother so-and-so? Look how they're living. I can't help how they're living. What about that one over there? And he even preaches sometimes. Look what he has in his home. I can't help it. Oh, folks, do you know what? In the time of Christ, there was a mixed multitude. There are some today, the only way you can have a pure congregation right here, and even then we fail, if all the ministers just started walking through and say, you're out, you're out, you're out. Folks, man can't put you into the church and man can't put you out. Man can't do it. What's the difference is where our robes have been washed. Which means then that in the congregations of the saints, yes, there is a mixed multitude. There are people that are not living up to the truth of the Word of God. There are people that are living substandard lives and not allowing the holiness of God to work in them. But folks, that doesn't mean we need to lose our vision. This was in the time of Christ. There's a mixed multitude. But what our commission is a body, don't stop preaching and living the truth. Because it may be a 30% of the congregation is divorced and remarried. Don't stop preaching the purity of the doctrine. Don't be afraid of what the congregation, I've heard this term before. Some have said, well, we're not going to preach on that because it's going to touch this brother's life and they're good givers. That's real, folks. Do you realize tonight this is where apostasy starts to set in? This is what happened in the early morning church. People begin to organize. They begin to substitute for the Holy Spirit. They begin to set up a ministerial hierarchy not based on the appointment of the Holy Spirit. And folks, I want to caution us about something. God uses people. There is government. There are people that God places in the body to lead and emcee the service and direct. There are places, but it ought to be led by the Holy Spirit, see? And what happened is very shortly after the time of Christ was that they began to set up a hierarchy because they wanted position. It was based on pride. I want to guard my position. And so then I'll start to limit you and let you work because you're my supporter. Yeah. Folks, that ought never happen. See, the identity of God's people are people where it's still the Spirit of God. But this is where apostasy began to set in. And folks, it eventually led, and it didn't happen overnight, but it eventually led to what today is the Roman Catholic Church. That's what happened, the apostasy, where when there is pride that gets in, we're more interested in position, we start to get territorial with our work of God, and then we're not going to emphasize doctrine as much because we're focused on self. We need to have a vision, folks, of the work of God. You know, the Lord gave me something last night. He let me know that the message of the gospel of Christ was not copyrighted. Oh, do you know this morning that the church of God is those every honest heart that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and it's not exclusive to me or to you, but it's all of us collectively together opening up our hearts that God could work. What happened is then, I'm not going to take the time to read it, but in Isaiah 33, they lost the vision and the understanding that the Lord was their judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. And it says He will save us. Folks, there's not salvation in anybody else. There's not redemption in anybody else. We need to have a vision of that, folks, because it will change our approach in the message that we take to the world. And folks, the world still needs this message today. Still need it. I want to say, folks, when we begin to get a vision of what it means, as in days of old, and folks, I see it working today still too, of the Spirit of the Lord having right of way and leading. Do you know that that's more than just a theology, folks? That's more than something that's just kind of been passed down. It works. And if Holy Spirit leadership isn't working, it's because there's too much flesh in the way. We need to get ourselves out of the way. We need to die on the cross. We need to lay ourselves down on the altar that the Spirit of the Lord would still have preeminence. That's the identity of God's people today. We find then that after and again, wish we had more time to focus on this. The apostasy, it came very quickly. I want us to understand, folks, every time God has sent a reformation, it hasn't taken very many years before people lost, to a large extent, the vision and zeal of the message. Because what happened is there's a loss of identity. And so when the apostasy, folks, gross darkness was on the face of the earth, but there was still a remnant. You can read in history of finding isolated small little groups that were still honoring Christ as their King. Their robes were still washed in the blood of the Lamb, and God was blessing them and leading them. But we find then that they lost a lot of truth and a lot of understanding. And then in the 1500s, actually in the 1400s with John Huss, and then in the early 1500s, Martin Luther, he got a little glimpse. He got a little vision of some of the identity of God's people. You know what it was? Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, also reiterated in some other passages. It said, "But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith." Folks, when people start to accuse God's people of being fuddy-duddy, old-fashioned, and you aren't with the times, I want us to understand that that is just a deception of the enemy. I want us to understand young people and children and older ones, understand this morning that the just shall still live by faith. God's people are not a people who are dogmatic carnally about the law. Yes, there is truth, there is doctrine that is to be held in love. Not compromising, not adding to it, but in love holding the truth. Still based. Living by faith, it's not based on our works alone now, then, is it? You know what it's based on? It went all the way back to the vision that John had. It's based on the merits of the blood of Jesus. That's who we are this morning. That's the identity of God's people. Oh, and then I think about how some say, well, you're just doing it because everybody else is doing it. That's how you were raised. Well, I'm thankful for the way I was raised. But folks, that's not good enough for my family today in and of itself. We need a vision today. If we don't have parents with children, if you don't have a vision, understanding of your identity, your children are going to grow up confused. You're going to grow up disillusioned, thinking it's just another church. It doesn't matter where you go. Folks, it does matter. It matters what we teach. It matters what we live. And parents, if your vision is not clear, we need to seek God to give us a clear understanding of who we are. That we would have that vision to pass down, to share with our children. Because folks, the saints, our identity, you know what we're motivated by? I'm talking about God's true children. Now, in our midst, there's going to be a mixed multitude. And there are going to be some people that live the way they do and just conform to the way the saints have done it. And that's the extent of their experience. That's a miserable way to live. If you're living like you are just because what's everybody else going to think of me if I don't do that, that's pretty miserable. Because your foundation is not based on a relationship of trust and faith in God. The just shall live by faith. Folks, it means it comes down to God's people are motivated by love and trust in God. That is the reason there are some places I don't go today. That's the reason there are some things I don't bring into my home. It's not just because my forefathers didn't do it, and I appreciate the heritage, but it is motivated by a love of God. Folks, God's people are not motivated by what everybody thinks. This is more than trying to preserve something that happened 120 years ago. This is something that we're motivated by love for God. I don't want something in my life that's going to take me closer to the world. But Lord, I want my garments to stay clean. I want my garments to stay pure. And if there's things, folks, the devil's trying to bring things in to cause our garments to be defiled. We need to be careful and cautious in what we allow in our homes, in what we practice and how we live. So why do saints do what they do? You want identity, folks. You can't leave love out of it. Motivated by love. The Scripture says the love of Christ constraineth us. Oh, it didn't say peer pressure. It didn't say tradition. It didn't say history. It said, oh, it's the love of God. It's the love of Christ. That free flow relationship. That personal experience with God. And you take two people like that and get them together, do you know what you start to have? A body. You start to have a body. You start to have a fellowship. Folks, that's who we are, isn't it? Oh, Lord, give us a vision. We find that soon after even, God began to give different points of light. And there were a number of reformers. But do you know that there's a lot of carnality that came with that? We find that there was a congregation over here that maybe had light on one thing, and another congregation over here that had light on another doctrine. But they didn't fellowship. They didn't work together. It was scattered. So where's the body? Say, well, a little bit. There's some truth over here, some truth over there. It was scattered. Well, we find then that people begin to set up movements after their reformer. Know where Lutherans came from? Followers of Luther. Where Wesleyans in the 1730s? Let's go there. 1730s, the Lord gave light to the Wesley brothers on a holy life. Sanctification. Do you know the word sanctify in your Bible? In most places, it's the same word as holy. Folks, sometimes we complicate this too much. What God has called us to do is to live holy lives. What Jesus taught. And folks, this light that Martin Luther had and that John Wesley had, it wasn't new. Do you know what confirms it to us today? Is we go back to the source. See, that's right. This is true. This is scriptural. We find that Jesus taught His disciples that when the Holy Spirit came, they would be endued with power. Folks, that's what the identity of God's people is. An experience subsequent to having our robes washed in the blood of Jesus was an infilling of power that enables us to say no to the flesh. Yes, we still have emotions. Yes, we still have feelings. Yes, we still have temptations. But now through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we have power over ourselves and over the world. Folks, that's not complicated. That is the work that God has. That's our identity today, a people that have been endued with power from on high. Oh, it's more than just a doctrine, folks. This is practical. This works on a daily basis, on our daily decisions, where I go, in what I do, in the music I listen to, in what I wear. What's the answer? Holiness. Purity. That which is undefiled and unpolluted by the world. Folks, that's the identity of God's people. If you come to me and say, Brother Michael, I think that you ought to be a Wilson. Change it. I think you ought to be a Wilson. I don't want to be a Wilson. I'm a Smith. That's who I am. Folks, do you know there are too many that want to change the identity of God's people? Folks, that's why we need to stand. That's why we need to know who we are. When people come along and try to change and try to twist and try to shape us into something else, oh no, Lord, help us to keep our identity. That's why we need to have a vision, folks. If we don't, we perish. Oh, we won't take the time to read it, but didn't Peter say you're a chosen generation? Oh, folks, today that still applies to the body today. You're a chosen generation. You're called out to live a holy, pure life before God. Who are the people of God? people that have their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. A people that allow the Word and the Spirit to work in their midst. A people that have been endued with power from on high. A people that have been called out. And what's the devil trying to cause us to do? Where are we feeling the pressures? To conform just a little bit more to the world. I have observed what's happened to so many that have tried to go that way. You know what I started seeing? Absence of power. Absence of zeal. I haven't seen any greater anointing, rather than more of a lack of it. Folks, I don't want that in my life. It's why we need to see what has worked, see where God's blessings have been in the past, and that's what I want. But yet it's a new blessing for us today as we live that way, motivated by the love of God. I want to just touch briefly. After the time of John Wesley, time moved on, and there were still all these scattered groups of people, and you couldn't just say, this is the body, because it was light, was so scattered. Well then, we find, and there are so many that God led, not just in this country, but folks across the world. But one that's name is mentioned frequently was D.S. Warner. In the 1880s, folks, the Lord gave him a little bit more vision. A little bit more understanding of the truth, in essence, that God is not a polygamist. God has one bride. You look and see this group over there and this group over there. Talk about confusion. Talk about not knowing what to do. Where do I go? Where do I fellowship? And they began, the Lord gave them understanding and light that came from the Word of God. It was that God has one bride. The Lord wants us to be in unity. So how do we have unity? Have your robes washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, folks, that's our identity. We can't get away from that this morning. There are some that say, well, we're Warnerites. I'm not a Warnerite this morning. That's not where I was born. I was washed in the blood of Jesus. And isn't that what binds us together today? Do you know the church today, they were joined together by a common faith and a common spirit, exclusive to sin. Exclusive to sin, exclusive to the flesh. But folks, today, we still need this fellowship to be based on the blood of Jesus Christ, not based on a common history alone, not based on common family ties. I look around, and you could start, if we took out 3 or 4 or 5, 6 families, a lot of you would be gone. And that's fine that we're family. It's fine that we're related. But folks, what the church of God is a people who are bound by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the message that we have. That's what the church still is today. People bound by the blood. Unity. The devil works on both sides of this issue. Unity will not come about by a union of unscriptural sects. Won't happen. Bodies that are promoting false doctrine. You say, well, unity, we're all supposed to be one. We're all headed to heaven, aren't we? I don't know how many times I've been asked that question. We're all headed there, aren't we? There's only one way, folks. And if we cannot find unity tonight, this morning, by some of us going down in the building down there and taking a hammer and working on that unity, that we'd all be one. Unity comes about by the free flow of the Holy Spirit in honest hearts and lives of people that love God with all of their heart. And I don't have to say, now what year did you leave Anderson? Oh, came out too late. Oh, that's not the answer, folks. Have you been washed in the blood? Has your life been transformed? And if you say yes, then that brings about a kinship and a fellowship in the Spirit of God. And you know, when it comes down to it, we're not going to be very different. If we're walking daily with God, we're going to find, without even trying to, we're going to find that we're all living pretty close. Because it's the same Spirit. It's the same Word of God. It's the same truth. See, the devil came along then when that message of oneness, in the 1880s, the devil came right behind and said, yeah, it sounds pretty good. So then let's have an ecumenical spirit. Just we're all one. Folks, the devil's at work there too. Devil's at work there too. So folks, it takes the Spirit of God. But even though we stand against this morning, an ecumenical spirit, the foundation in the unity of God's people is that we are united because our robes have been washed in the blood. If we lose sight of that, there's going to be a price. And the price is Church of God sectism. We'll get there in a moment. Revelation chapter 18. He said, "After these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird." Moving down to the fourth verse, he said, "I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and receive not of her plagues." Folks, Babylon is a state of confusion. I want us to understand that that message is still relevant to God's church today. The message to come out, what the devil would like us to do, because we believe in oneness. We can go too far on either side. We can be all accepting, or we can start to stay within our little walls. And if you don't come to Monarch, you're not part of the church of God. Folks, God's people is bigger than that. But yet, this message is still relevant to come out of Babylon. Where there is... You know, in Babylon, there's a lot of truth. There are people... Listen now. There are people that are saved in Babylon. There are people that get saved in other churches. Because when they hear the Spirit of the Lord and God talks to their heart, they can repent. Do you know what happens when they repent and their robes are washed? They're part of the church of God, whether they know it or not. They're part of the body of Christ because now they're living pure before God. But what happens in Babylon and the danger of it is that there's some air mixed in with it. And folks, truth mixed with air will eventually bring spiritual death. It will be hard to maintain a life of victory constantly feeding on truth mixed with some air. And if you think you're in a place that I can handle it, I dare say there have been too many that have said that today are far from God and they still have a profession. It's because they allow themselves to get deceived. I want to caution and warn us according to the Scripture. Folks, we need to come out of Babylon. Don't be a partaker of her sins. And you may say, well, things are really happening over there. You know what the Scripture teaches us here in Revelation? Says the devils will work miracles. False religion, you will see some miracles. Every time there is a miracle does not mean it is of God. What greater deception is there than seeing a lot of zeal and a lot of movement and even some miracles? You say, surely God is in this thing. Oh, we need to weigh it out according to the Word of God. Is it pure? Is it holy? Is it just? Is it motivated by love? Is it the Holy Spirit? Folks, that's the identity of God's people today. That's who we are. That's what God has called us to be. Oh, to come out, folks. Let's not be wooed by the seductiveness of Babylon today. You see, we're in a battle. Comes back, we don't have time to get into that, but we're in that battle of Armageddon, and that's where we're feeling the pressure today. Do you know where the focus of the battle is? Scripture says it's around the camp of the saints. He's already got them where He wants them. And so what He wants to do is come in our local congregations and even as a larger body and draw us away, just a little bit of Babylon, a little bit of man, a little bit of something to stimulate the flesh, a little bit of entertainment. And the long-term result is a loss of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then what do we have to offer? Shortly after... Let me just say this first. Church is, by definition, folks, is a called out people. That's what church means, called out. That's not the message the religious world is preaching anymore. So we're all headed there. And it's amazing how spiritual people get when they realize that you live for God. They get so spiritual so quick. But folks, what it amounts to, it's in the daily living. I had a man from China ask me one time, he said, "I don't understand." He came to America, he said, "There's all these churches, I don't understand." To him it was confusing. You all say you're Christians. But folks, the key is in the living. The key is in the life. The key is in your love, it's in your conduct. It's in your purity. That's the identity of the body. Find people that church hop. Have you ever tried to help someone that's been here and here and there just looking and looking and looking and being a part here and trying to keep their foot in the door in this group and coming over here. Do you know what happens long term? Confusion. Disillusionment. Folks, the devil's trying to cause us this morning to be disillusioned. This is why we need to have a vision of who we are. A renewed purpose. That we can go out with a renewed zeal and a renewed burden for who we are. Oh, dear ones, shortly after the 1880s Reformation, do you think that was it? Is that where are we today? Same thing happened after that Reformation. It's happened in every other Reformation. There was a falling away. Falling away. Now, in 1910, it wasn't one specific year. It was a process. What today we know is Anderson Church of God. Folks, that's where we came from. Those are our roots. There was one time we were all in fellowship. But in 1910, moving on to 1917, even into the early 20s, there was an identity crisis that took place. And there were some that wanted in a desire. Now listen how the devil works. In a desire to reach out to the world with his glorious message, they thought we need to get a little bit more on the level of the world to reach him. Folks, we are never going to be able to reach people that are in sin by getting in the mud pit ourselves. The only way that we can reach out to a world that is lost is by staying on the rock, Jesus Christ. And folks, we can stretch out our hand, but we can't get down on that level, folks, because what happens is we're going to get pulled in with them. We're going to end up where they were. That's what happened. Now, many people say it was all the division that took place in that time period was because of the necktie. I want to say that that was just a little part. It was just a little symptom of a deeper issue of worldliness that started to creep in. And today we see where it has led. Folks, God wasn't in that. And that's why I want us to understand among us, the devil starts with little things. We need to be on guard. We need to be careful that we preserve not an identity of the past, but the call of holiness and oneness and unity and purity that is still relevant to the church today. Necktie controversy was the tip of the iceberg, folks. There was a spirit of worldliness that developed in an attempt to reach the world, and pretty soon they said we need to have, and I'm not against education at all, but when it is used for the purpose of equipping and qualifying for the ministry, God's not in that thing. Want us to understand what happened when they created their seminary. It wasn't long before there were unsaved atheist professors trying to teach these ministers how to go out. Do you know there's a long-term consequence to that? There's a price that was paid. Folks, we did not leave that Reformation. We didn't leave it because the old-time truth, folks, this was not an invention of D.S. Warner. Just like it was an invention of John Wesley or Martin Luther, it goes all the way back to a foundation that Jesus gave to us. These are our roots today. This is our foundation. There were those that deviated from the truth. And I want us to, Lord, help us to know, like I said, there are people that are saved, folks. This is not an indictment on individuals. There are people that live to all they know and all they understand. Folks, they're part of God's people. But yet the Lord has called us out and wants us to be in unity and kinship of the Spirit in faith, in a common faith, in a common spirit. This fellowship, getting a little bit closer where we are today, this fellowship, most of the congregations that are represented here today are a result, historically, are those that stood against the spiritual decline of Anderson years ago. That's historically where it is. But folks, a lot of times elapsed since then. What traditionally happens, historically, what happens after a move out? Another decline. Another falling away. Folks, we are in a place today the devil would like nothing better to cause more division. He would like nothing better than to try to get us divided over our own opinions and over our own ideas when we are still called to a unity of faith motivated by love with the identity that was given where we started, Revelation, blood-washed children. robed, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Folks, a lot of time has elapsed and we are in a battle. And I believe that we are in some critical times today. I believe that's scripturally based, scripturally backed up. We're in some perilous times today, folks. I don't want to fall into a rut. That's what he said in the last days, perilous times should come. He said there would be a form of godliness. A form of godliness is if as a people, what our foundation is just trying to preserve something from 50 years ago or to 1,000 years ago. Folks, the Lord has something, a fresh anointing. It's the same old time doctrinal truth. We sing that song. I haven't heard it sung for a long time. We sang it at home a few weeks ago. That song says, "Give me that old time religion." I haven't heard it sung here for a long time. Folks, that's still where we're going to get deliverance. It's the old, because that song got a bad reputation, didn't it? A little bit. We don't want to be seen as something old. But folks, what will keep us current with God is the old time faith, the old time anointing, the old time doctrinal truth, letting it live and work in us. Folks, that's who we are today. That's our identity. I don't normally preach this long. But folks, we have a little longer. Would you give me a little more time? Isaiah in the 4th chapter. There is, I believe, a spiritual fulfillment at work today. In Isaiah in the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 1, it says, "And in that day 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, 'We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach.'" I believe this morning we are seeing a spiritual fulfillment of that Scripture. The name in the Scripture, the Church of God. We have a history. We have some place that came from. But folks, the name over the door does not in and of itself make us God's people. What makes us God's people is that same holy living. That's what makes it, that same message of truth. What we find today, what we refer to, and it's some of my personal terminology, I guess, but Church of God sectism. 7 women taking hold of one man saying, "We want to be called by your name." Do you know how many Church of God groups there are today that don't fellowship each other? I haven't counted. There's over 30. And that was a few years ago, and there's been some others since then. Is God in that? I've gotten calls from people in different areas saying, "What do we do? What do we do?" Folks, God still has one bride. God still has one people. Where there have been those, we're living in a time where the devil sees trying to cause us to lose our identity. Trying to cause us to lose our vision. If he can't get us one way, he'll try to get us another way. 7 women taking hold of one man. We'll all call ourselves Church of God, but we want to do it our own way now. Wear our own apparel. We don't want to wear what's the apparel of God's people. White robes, robes of righteousness. Folks, those any group, even if they say they're Church of God, if they're wearing their own apparel, God's not in that thing. We need to be wearing the robes of righteousness. That's where God is. But folks, he said, "We'll eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, but let us be called by thy name to take away the reproach." We don't want to change the sign on the door, but we want to do it our own way now. We want to update. We want to change things to make it a little bit more palatable to the lost world. Folks, God isn't in that. You're not going to find God's approval on that because it's contrary to what the Bible teaches. I want to encourage us as a movement, as a body of people today, let's keep our vision clear. Let's, Lord, help us if we start to get disillusioned with this. Let's lift our eyes up a little bit higher and get them on Christ that we would have confidence. Someone says, "What is your name?" "Oh, my name, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb." Folks, that's who we are and what we're called to be. And I'm thankful this morning that God still does have a people. I'm thankful God still does. But folks, over in Isaiah chapter 1, it talks about how the faithful city became a harlot. It came about by mixing the wine with the water, diluting the truth down a little bit. A little bit of compromise on one hand, maybe a little bit of fanaticism on the other. Do you know fanaticism and compromise and liberalness, do you know that it comes from the same spirit? It's a spirit of pride. whether it's a self-righteous spirit or whether it's a spirit of pride, because I want to be more like the world. But folks, we need to understand where we are today. The Scripture says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Those that are doing that, folks, that's our identity. That's what we're called to do. And as time goes on, just a little note. In the 1800s, you ever heard people say, y'all are just trying to dress like they did? We don't dress like they did. I see quite a bit of color here today. Is that wrong? No, I don't believe it is. I want us to understand something, though. The Scripture still teaches modesty, still teaches simplicity and decency. But what's going to happen is you look back in the 1800s, and you know, even people in the church dressed pretty similarly to people in their society. But you know what's happened in our society is they're getting more and more after the flesh. So what happens is we're not trying to preserve a piece of history, but we're trying to live what the Bible teaches. And what's going to happen as the world gets worse and worse, if we always measure ourselves as a body by the world, we're always just going to be a couple notches above the standard of the world. And we'll get a little bit closer and closer, living after the flesh, and we can make ourselves feel better. So, oh, we don't do what they do. But folks, what we need to be doing is living the Word of God. Living what the Bible says, and it means as time goes on until the Lord comes back, there is going to be a greater and greater difference between our conduct, our dress, our attitudes, what we listen to and where we go than there ever has been in history before. We cannot measure ourselves by the world, but we need to measure ourselves by the Word of God. This is the identity of God's people today. I want to say in concluding, folks, that the message of the gospel is still relevant today. It is still relevant as a people. It is still relevant, folks, if you feel that tendency, a little bit of shame, say, what do we have to offer whenever there's all these other groups and peoples? Folks, we have a message to offer to the world. I believe what the saints teach, folks, not because the saints teach, but because it's what the Word of God teaches. I believe that, folks, the world needs that message. Hurting hearts, homes that are broken, folks, that you can minister to symptoms, but what people need is a transformation of their spirit, and that only comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. Folks, if you feel irrelevant in your congregation, Lord, help us to lift up our eyes. Know our identity, folks, that we can go out with zeal and courage and continue to propagate the gospel of truth. Oh, dear ones, we sing that song that says, let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in Thee. You know, that's my prayer today as a people, that we would lose ourselves in a greater way and that we would find it more and more in Jesus Christ, in His way. Paul said, didn't he? He said, we preach not ourselves. Folks, I'm not preaching entrance. I'm not preaching a body of coming through us. But what I'm saying is the Lord desires us to be one. He desires us to be in unity and fellowship centered around this Word here today. And when someone comes and we're not preaching ourselves, but Lord, help us to be a city that's still set on a hill, that we can unashamedly, someone says, well, what is this group of people that you can say if you come, you're going to find truth. You're going to find a people that love God. You're going to find holy lives. You're going to find holy living. And don't be discouraged because there's a mixed multitude. There was in the time of Christ too. But as long as we let the fullness of Word and Spirit work, folks, we will still be that people. I appreciate and I love you all. I look around here and folks, you're my people this morning. You're my people. What binds us together is that common identity. I've had different times someone come along and they've asked, they said, well, where do you go to church? So, well, Church of God. They say, have you ever, people ask you, well, what brand? Well, are you Faith and Victory? Are you Guthrie? Are you one of those six seal people? Are you one of those seven seal people? Are you Way of Truth? And they go through the list of all these churches of God. It's like, oh no, Lord. When the Lord looked on, like we read where we started, do you know what the identifier was? Let's end there. Where was it? It was in the robes. that we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And when the Lord comes back, I would that all of us be found with our robes washed in the blood of the Lamb, preserving the faith in the current message of the gospel until the Lord comes back. You pray for me.